Welcome to the Midnight Society. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
And we're here to talk about ghost stories. True ghost stories. Things that have happened to us, things that we want to investigate, and things that have happened to you.
Email us your experiences at midnightsocietyae@gmail.com or leave us your firsthand story as a voicemail at 978-938-4BOO. Hello, this is the Midnight Society.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
We are back
to talk to you about
ghosts.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
And tonight we are talking about
sleepy time haunts.
The things that go bump in the night and wake you up from your peaceful slumber. Like jerks.
You really can't deny that there's nowhere that you are more vulnerable than when you're sleeping.
You've got your feet up, your head back, your mouth open.
You're nude.
Dreaming of little sheep and handsome men.
You know, personally speaking, I get really stressed out if I'm going to sleep and there's nobody home and I hear anything at all.
While you're like least expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
You're a peaceful babe slumbering.
Yeah. Unable to defend yourself. Except for that one time where John tried to carry me to bed and I screamed that somebody was kidnapping me. Apparently I'm pretty good at defending myself when I'm sleeping.
And just in case anyone's confused, John is Amanda's fiance.
It's not just the hobo from outside my house.
All right. So we've got some really great stories to share with you all tonight. Mm-hmm. But before we even dive into them, we thought we could talk a little bit about things that like kind of happen naturally for people
mm-hmm.
when they have some sort of like sleep. How do you categorize this?
Like disorder?
Disorder?
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of things that we've all heard of. Night terrors,
mm-hmm.
Sleep paralysis,
narcolepsy.
Even narcolepsy. So why don't we kick it off by talking a little bit about that and then dig into the personal stories.
Absolutely. I feel like I actually have some like real knowledge of the topic. I'm not just like, let's dive in and see what happens.
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, I had stress-related night terrors pretty frequently. So like a good example of the most common time it would happen would be like if my dad was away on business, I had a real fear of not having the whole family unit together. I felt like unsafe, not to be all antiquated and shit, but like I felt unsafe when it was just my mom, because I was like, but my dad would like fight off the burglars. And so if my dad left the house, I typically like whatever the first night was, I would have a night terror. And so I would like wake up the next day and my mom would be like, do you remember what happened last night?
Yeah. So what does a night terror consist of? Like what makes it a night terror versus
just a regular nightmare? Yeah. So I can't speak for everybody else who's had night terrors, but for me, I never had any real memory of it after the fact. But I remember I would usually be able to tell as I was falling asleep that it was going to happen. I would have like a weird feeling. Like I think it would probably be like what somebody would akin to like an anxiety attack. I would like have a small feeling like that in my chest when I was falling asleep. I have a really hard time explaining what night terrors are like based on my own experience. I find I just start like waffling off into like talking about how I would sleepwalk or how I did this or what my dreams were about. So I actually went online, tried to find like a really basic description of what night terrors are and sort of what they feel like. And surprisingly, the Mayo Clinic had like a really good, in my opinion, a really good depiction. So that's what I have here. So sleep terrors or night terrors are episodes of screaming, intense fear, and flailing while still asleep. They're often paired with sleepwalking, and they differ from nightmares because the dreamer of a nightmare wakes up from the dream and might remember details, but a person who has a sleep terror remains asleep. They generally occur in the first third to first half of the night and rarely during naps. And that sort of, I think, is related somehow to the REM cycle and at what portion of the REM cycle you're in. And like I said, the sleep terror may lead to sleepwalking. It might also include beginning with a frightening scream or shout, sitting up in bed and appearing frightened, staring wide-eyed, not seeming to see, sweating, breathing heavily, having a racing pulse, flushed face, and dilated pupils, kicking and thrashing, hard to awaken, confused if awakened. You might be inconsolable. You'll probably have little or no memory of the event the next morning. And in some cases, you might get out of bed and run around the house or have aggressive behavior if you're blocked or restrained. And then there was an interesting tidbit that sleep terrors affect almost 40% of children and a much smaller percentage of adults. Most children outgrow night terrors by their teenage years, which was actually my experience. So I had night terrors for a lot of my childhood, and then I think I probably grew out of them. But what was very interesting was that the change really occurred when my mom bought me a dream catcher. And I think it was that psychological aspect of really believing that it would catch the bad dreams that like helped me feel comforted enough in those situations to no longer have the night terrors.
It almost makes me wonder if back in the day people would have confused possessions even with like night terrors, because like the imagery I'm imagining of someone sitting up in the middle of the night running around the house seeming awake but they're not.
Yeah, or I mean even just the fact that people don't remember the next morning, that seems very much like possession to me. And I know when I talk about them they don't make sense to other people, but because mine were so stress related, they were about things that stressed me out.
And how old were you when these were happening? I'm sorry if you mentioned
probably,
that.
Probably, no. It was all probably before I was 11 or 12.
Gotcha.
I had this like beautiful easel that I like coveted when I was growing up. And I had a night terror about a giant daddy long legs that completely filled my bedroom.
I just got goosebumps.
It couldn't move because my easel was in its way. And I had dolls that had like vomit stains on them when I was growing up because I would like vomit everywhere when I was having my night terrors.
Oh my God, that's awful. That's terrifying.
I never drove the car though, so we're good.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
But it is scary. I mean, I know you were talking about sleep paralysis earlier, and I know that it's like similar to that. Like there's really no warning.
Right. There was maybe one time that I had some sort of sleep paralysis, but mm-hmm. It was the feeling of something heavy on my chest when I woke up, but I didn't necessarily feel it happened so quickly that I don't know if I felt like I couldn't move, but I definitely felt like there was someone sitting on my chest.
That is crazy, though.
And it was another stress-related thing, and actually in the little bit of research that I did, stress absolutely has an impact mm-hmm. on these things. And I think my grandmother had recently passed away, and she and I were super close, so you know, it could have been some sort of anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely.
But with the little research, since we don't have sleep paralysis issues ourselves, mm-hmm. I did a little digging into kind of what that experience feels like. And here's what I have. So basically, while people are either waking up or falling asleep, they're like somewhat awake, but they're unable to move or speak, which just seems absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, totally.
Like you're awake and you're like, am I paralyzed? What's happening?
I remember, and this is a total paraphrasing because I'm not referencing any real primary documents here, but I sort of remember when the Salem witch trials were happening, I read that a lot of people described experiences sort of like sleep paralysis, that like witches would come to them at night,
right,
and you mess with them or torture them in some way.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. It's not only just the feeling of paralysis. They can be accompanied with like a hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
They can also see things like a dark shadow in the corner of the room, things lurking outside of someone's window. And also other things that you can kind of hallucinate audibly are, you can actually, sometimes people say they hear whispers, like someone seems like they're talking to them, which like, if you were to think of a devil sitting on your chest or like some sort of demonic influence, like, mm-hmm. yeah, dark shadow in the corner whispering. I recall reading that one of the ways to cope with it is to mm-hmm. like take a deep breath and remember that this is likely sleep paralysis. You're not under a devil's spell. You're mm-hmm. not being possessed. And sometimes actually someone else poking you or like talking to you can kind of shake you out of it.
Yep.
Or really, really trying to move like mind over matter to the 900th degree.
Yeah.
Trying to force your hands to clench or something like that can get you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we mention all of these sleep disorders because we absolutely think about them when we hear stories of people waking up and seeing things out of the corner of their eye or mm-hmm. things like that. But these are stories that we actually think could not could be excluded from these disorders.
Mm-hmm. So I was talking to my friend Kevin the other night, and he gave me some crazy stories. And it really resonated with me, and I'm going to just say this before we actually listen to it together. Mm-hmm. It resonated with me because, when I was in college, and I'm sure this is an experience that a lot of other people had too, I lived every year I was in a different apartment, if not several apartments per year. And where I grew up in Albany, everything is so old. It just felt like no matter where you were living in somebody else's echo. And I remember frequently, like the first couple of weeks after moving in, I would just imagine like all the noises. You're getting used to the way the house moves, mm-hmm. the way the house settles, or the way it sounds. And so it reminded me of that when I was talking to Kevin, because he was talking about a couple of spaces where he wasn't used to sleeping, and he had some crazy shit happen to him.
Let's take a listen.
Mm-hmm. Many years ago, I dated a gal who lived on Boylston Street in Boston, right across in the Fenway, right around the corner from Fenway Park. When I started dating her, she told me that she had moved into the apartment. She had a really good deal because the gal that lived in the room she lived in before moved out because the place was haunted and weird stuff would happen. She's like, I don't care about this stuff. She goes, so I moved in. And the roommate, the other guy that lived there, said, yeah, this place is really weird. Stuff happens. And so she said, since I've moved in, strange things do happen here. I hear, like footsteps walking in the hallway and, like, walking into my room at night. I look up and there's no one there. And she's like, it seems to be, like, escalating. It seems to be happening more and more. So I start dating her, and I obviously start sleeping over there. The place is really weird. It was on the fifth floor, and she was all the way to the hallway. So you go up to the top of the top of the elevator, get out. And you had to walk all the way down this, like, long, dark hallway. And there was a woman that lived next door that had, like, an upright piano. And she'd always be playing, like, creepy classical music. She'd walk down this creepy hallway with, like, classical music to get to this, like, weird apartment at the end. So anyway, I started sleeping over there. The first weird thing that started happening was one morning the roommate said, you guys left the door open last night. And we're like, there's no way, because you had to, like, deadbolt the door. And he's like, I got up this morning, the door was wide open. So we went out the next night, we came home, and we had a couple of drinks, and we're like, all right, we both were like, we got to make sure we lock the door. So we, like, shut the door and, like, tap off the door. And in the morning, he's like, you guys, the door's wide open. And we're like, there's no way, man. Like, we totally, and he's like, this is really weird, because he's been there on his own a couple of times and got up in the morning, and the door's been wide open. So we're like, well, that's kind of freaky. So anyway, we were in bed one night sleeping, and I woke up. And she's laying next to me in bed, but you know, if you're like sleeping flat, you're like 180 degrees, and if you sit up, you know, upright, you're like, what, 90 degrees, if my math is correct?
Yeah.
She was like 45 degrees, like in a position that's like humanly impossible. And I was like, what the hell is she doing? And I look over and I look at her face and she's totally asleep. And I like reached out and touched her shoulder and she like fell back down. It was like someone was lifting her out of bed. It was totally freaky.
Oh, my
right?
God. That's like an ab exercise.
Right? I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, why'd you wake me up? I'm like, you were, like, hovering out of the bed. Like, we were totally freaked out. I think we, like, slept with the light on, you know? So, anyway, like, a few days after that, she had to go to work, and I was, like, staying at her place, and her roommate was there, and he's like, oh, I'm taking off. So he left, and I was like, I'm in the shower. And I was like, oh, you know what? He's not here. I'm going to, like, borrow his razor. Which is kind of a thing to do, but I was like a young dude, and I was like, you know, I don't have my crap here. I'm going to borrow his razor. So I get out of the shower, and I can hear him having a conversation with someone. It sounded like I thought his girlfriend came up, because I could hear like two muffled voices having a conversation like in the hallway, like outside the door. So I'm like, better not use the razor. He's here. So anyway, I like flush up and like do my hair and stuff, and then I like come out, and there's nobody there. I'm like, that's really weird. So about half an hour later, he came back, and I was like, were you just here? He's like, no, I've not been back. And I was like, dude, there was, like, seriously two voices having a conversation. He's like, I've totally heard that before. And then he proceeds to tell me the story about he woke up a couple nights before. Those buildings have, like, a courtyard in the middle. And he's like, I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was, like, a woman screaming, like something was wrong, like, down in the courtyard. And he's like, I, like, got really freaked out, so I, like, opened the window and looked down. And he goes, and, like, the moment I opened the window and looked down, it, like, stopped, and there was nobody down there. So all this other strange stuff would happen. Like, she was getting these electric shocks in the bathtub, and, like the building supervisor came and they checked it out. They even, like, put in a new bathtub, and, like, kept happening. Like, just every once in a while this stuff would happen. So the really freaky thing is we went to England together, she and I, and got back. I think we're staying at my mom's house for the night, and she got a call. She called her mom, and she said, I got a really crazy call from your roommate, Adam, asking, you know, when you were back, and he asked if you would call him at this phone number. So she called him up, and he was, like, freaking out. He's like, I have to meet you guys. He's like, I'm not going back to the apartment. And she's like, all right. So we met him in the city and like, to have a drink and find out what the hell is going on. So he proceeds to tell us a story that he worked the bills one night, got home late. He's like, I went to bed, and he said, I went to bed, and, like, all the lights were off and everything. That was another thing. Lights would be on. You wake up in the morning, like, all the lights would be on. It was, like, very strange. So anyway, he woke up in the middle of the night. He's like, I was no longer in my bed. He's like, I was in your bedroom. I was totally naked because that's how I sleep. He's like, every single light in the apartment was on. He goes, and I was standing on your bed, pressing my body as hard as I could against the glass window, like I was trying to throw myself out the window. And he's like, I ran in my room, I threw clothes on, and he goes, I ran out. He goes, I've not been back to the apartment. He goes, I'm not going back. I'm moving out. There's something really bad in that place. And so she was totally freaked out. She stayed with me for a couple of days, and then, like, I think their lease was coming up anyway, so, like, they went, like, they had, like, friends go with them and, like, move all the crap out, and, like, never went back to the apartment again. It was just, like, totally bizarre. Oh, my creepy.
God.
Right?
That is gnarly.
So this is officially a call for anybody who has ever slept or lived near Fenway Park in Boston. We want to talk to you.
Yeah, if you've had similar experiences. And so just to, like, loop it back to what we were just talking about, the like sleep paralysis stuff. You know, when I'm listening to the story of the male roommate, I'm like, oh, well, maybe he sleepwalks or has night terrors.
Oh,
he's turning the lights on and opening doors. And, like, clearly he woke up standing somewhere. So, like, maybe he sleepwalks and just doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the girlfriend is half sitting up, which is, like,
that's
a hard ab workout.
100%. She must have been fit.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, Kevin wakes up, she's hovering at a 45 degree angle to the bed, and then when he touches her, she basically falls back and wakes up and then yells at him for waking her up. Like, that's not, like, something that just happens because you're sleepwalking.
Right. Yeah. And, like, in my head, I'm sitting here being like, okay, well, there are some commonalities with sleep paralysis where, you know, you can't control your muscles and maybe you don't snap out of it till someone talks to you or touches you. But sleep paralysis is also typically, like, you're awake and but your body isn't awake.
Well, and
but she's sleeping.
It might have been hard to catch in there. I think it was, like, a really passing comment from him. But she actually she woke up once or twice and saw a figure at the very end of her bed.
Right.
And at one point it actually reached out and touched her leg. And that, to me, on top of the fact that her roommate woke up in her bedroom trying to throw himself out of the window, sounds like a lot of the activity that he was describing really centered in her bedroom.
Yeah. And so another thing that can actually be another, like, sleep disorder that can be accompanied with hallucinations is actually narcolepsy, which I was surprised to learn about.
I know, you don't really hear about that too often. Like, yeah. I've never met somebody who has narcolepsy.
Right. So, yeah, me either. I don't know anybody personally myself.
It is one of my favorite Third Eye Blind songs, though.
Oh, you're amazing. So what I did find out via the Googles is that people with narcolepsy can have vivid dreamlike hallucinations while they're falling asleep or while they're waking up. The way they describe the hallucinations is terrifying in this as well, where it's like they can have this feel, like, extremely real. The visions feel real, like seeing a person in your bedroom.
So it's pretty similar to what people report seeing with sleep paralysis, but maybe without the paralysis.
Exactly. That's, it's more of like
crazy.
Yeah, it's more of like you're falling asleep and out of the corner of your mm-hmm. eye, you're seeing things similar to the sleep paralysis stuff. They did say on this site that I found that there is a way that you can kind of self-test, and if you can like answer yes to any of these questions, that you should maybe go talk to like a sleep specialist.
Oh.
Which, so here's what they say. If you've ever had the sudden urge to sleep during the day, even though you're getting enough sleep at night.
Are you quizzing me?
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah, I have too. I feel like that's any working gal.
I'm a 30-something who doesn't get enough sleep.
I know.
Who parties. I watch too much Grey's Anatomy.
Exactly. I know. That's the one where I was like, I don't know. That could be anyone. Mm-hmm. Have you ever fallen asleep while working, eating, or speaking with someone?
Oh, I mean, if I'm drunk and eating, yes.
Exactly. I think this is more of like your mid-conversation. Never when it's Ben and Jerry's,
but maybe when it's like a bag of chips.
If you're like mid-conversation and you conk out, mm-hmm. I think that's what they're saying here.
Shitty date.
Totally. Have you felt alert after a brief nap, but then the alertness quickly changes to sleepiness? If you answer yes to any of these questions, there is a chance that you have narcolepsy.
I think I'm a narcoleptic.
I know. I fall asleep very quickly and easily. And
really?
I can answer. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I, side note, sidebar, I attribute that to riding a bus that in middle school was like 45 minutes from my school, and I was the first kid on and the last kid off.
Oh, yep.
So it's like power down as soon as you get on the bus, and I think that's trained me to be like, oh, I'm ready to power down. I'm powering down.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so back to this topic at hand.
Oh, so I want to go back to what you were saying about how with narcolepsy, a lot of the, like, you know, the real activity, the fireworks, they happen when you're about to fall asleep or like in the process or waking up.
Yes.
And it reminded me a little bit of what I was talking about before, this like weird feeling in that twilight state, like as you're slipping into sleep, you're like still slightly self-aware, but like I remember feeling like, well, I can't stop it now. Like,
right.
I wasn't like in a state where I could like wake myself back up, but I was aware of like, well, shit, I have that
this
feeling.
Is it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Interesting.
That twilight state is like a weird place.
Totally. And I actually have a story from a friend of mine. Her name is Kaya, who has an interesting experience.
Oh.
So let's take it away, Kaya.
Let's do it.
So my name is Kaya. So I lived in California from 2011 to 2015. The last house that I stayed in, I was renting the house with my cousin. One night I was laying in bed and I was just about to go to sleep, and I always left the TV on because I've never really been comfortable not having something on. I just like that white noise. So I had closed my eyes and shifted in the air, and I was like, kind of scared to open my eyes, but I had to. So I opened my eyes and there was a lady standing at the edge of my bed. And I'd seen her before. She had been in dreams of mine previously, and I'd also seen her like in random places in that house and actually in Michigan. Like, she's been around. So she was standing at the edge of the bed, and she kind of reminds me of like Betty White, but uglier. Like, she has like that like blondish gray hair, and you know, she's thinner, not necessarily ugly, but not really pretty. But she wears like plain clothes. She wears like a gray sweater and like slacks, you know, like an old lady would wear. Uh-huh. So she is standing at the edge of the bed and she's like yelling, and I don't hear anything. I just see her mouth moving, and I'm like, I don't understand you. What do you want? And she is just like arm gestures and like yelling. And I can tell she's like getting really frustrated. And I'm like, well, come closer because I can't hear you. And like, it kind of feels like a dreamlike state. It's so weird. So she comes closer and she's doing the same thing. She's yelling, and I'm trying to read her lips, but she's just, her lips are going 55,000 miles an hour. So I'm like, I can't hear you, move closer. So she moves closer, and now she's like arm length away, and she's still like adamant, trying to tell me something. And I'm like, I don't understand you. So she stops and she's looking at me and I'm looking at her and like, I'm getting like super freaked the hell out. I mean, I was freaked out when I saw her in the first place, but now she's like right next to me. So I'm like, what do you want? And I'm kind of like propped up on my elbow, you know, and I'm still laying in bed. And all of a sudden she gets like this like wicked smile on her face and her face kind of like contorts a little bit and she lunges at me and I opened my mouth to scream and she was trying to like get in my mouth.
What?
And yeah. And I fell on the floor and I was like gagging and coughing and like it was, and she was gone at that point. So it was like, she was like trying to possess me or something. I don't know.
What the
hell? It was the weirdest shit ever.
Yeah, that's terrifying. And when you'd seen her previously, was she threatening at all? Like, what were your previous experiences with her?
A couple times. Like, when I first remember seeing her, it was kind of just, like, in the shadows, you know, or, like, like kind of far away. I think I don't know if she was, like, trying to judge, like, should she come up to me? Like, it was weird. It was like she was afraid of me. But then, like, I guess as she got bolder, she was showing up more. Like, I had one dream of her, and I was in my grandma's old house on Ainsley in Clinton Township. And she was in my grandma's small bathroom, and she, like, grabbed me and tried to pull me into the bathroom. Like,
what?
That was, like, one of the first times, yeah, that she, like, scared the shit out of me. But she had never been, like, that forceful. I don't know. It was really strange.
And you haven't seen her since then, or does she
Nope. That was the last time I saw her. Yeah. What really creeped me out, though, was right before my grandpa died in April of 2015, he was hallucinating really bad. And he was seeing people. He'd be like, oh, my brother's sitting in that chair. You know, like, he would tell me what he was seeing, and I would ask him. And the one thing that creeped me out so bad is that he would say to me all the time, how come they're trying to talk to me, but nothing is coming out of their mouth? Like, I'm not hearing anything. And, like, it totally made me think of that lady trying to tell me something, and her mouth was moving, but I wasn't hearing any sound.
Well, so if we ever get famous off of this podcast, you know, the first t-shirt we're ever going to have is going to be Ugly Betty White.
And we have to send one to Kaya.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she's so good.
We may hear from Kaya again in this podcast because I actually thought to contact her because when we were in high school, she and I used to call each other and tell each other like the creepy, weird things that have happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
And she always had tons of stories. And I actually asked her if she thought maybe she was a medium, like a untapped medium or like untrained medium kind of thing. And she thinks maybe. I think she actually at one point told me that her grandma has had similar experiences as well.
I love that.
So she definitely has other stories to share with us.
Good.
So we may hear from Kaya again.
Well, so this was like, it felt like I was listening to a classic because her story started with that one theme that we keep hearing from the other sort of nighttime haunt type stories, which is you wake up and there is a figure somewhere.
Right.
And it might be touching you. It might be just standing there watching you.
And hers went away, but she actually, like, what I think is so fascinating is she's up on her elbow and she's trying to talk to her. She's like, I can't hear you. Come closer.
Yeah.
She's actually interacting, which again, going back to the sleep disorders, that's an argument for this not being a sleep disorder because she's awake, she's interacting, she's not paralyzed, she's not half asleep or half awake, she's fully awake and experiencing this.
Kaya's story actually hit home mostly for me because her grandpa also saw the same spirit.
Yes. And it was not the same spirit, but the same like thing.
Why can't I hear that?
Right, where the mouth is moving but no words are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do have a couple more stories.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking about that figure, the classic figure at the end of your bed. And I do want to sort of rewind a little bit and go back to Kevin. So let's listen to it.
I was in Ireland with my buddy Dave. We went over on like a vacation. We took the boat from England to Rosslare, which is in like the south of Ireland. And we were going to go to Dublin the next day. So we like got this like bed and breakfast place, and we were like sharing a room. So it was like a small little room. Like my head was kind of like where the foot of his bed was, like near where his feet were. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we went to the pub and we had like a couple of drinks. Like we weren't like loaded or anything. We just had a few drinks because we had to get bourbon and take the bus. So we go back to the place and we fall asleep. And I woke up, like, same thing. I woke up, like, eyes open, and I'm looking at his bed. And there's a woman, like, kind of, like, over his bed, but, like, almost maybe 9 feet, maybe, like, in the bed. It was weird. She was, like, standing, and she was holding something that looked like a baby. And she was standing there, like, clear as day. And I remember, I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then I'm like, this is, like, all happening in slow motion in my mind. I was like, what the fuck is that? Why is there someone in the room? And I was like, that person looks really weird. Like, they were kind of, like, blue and, like, almost, like, shimmery or something. And I was like, that's really weird. That looks like a ghost. And I'm staring at it. I'm like, I think it is a ghost. And I kid you not, I was probably, like, 23 years old. I screamed at the top of my lungs and, like, threw my head under the blankets. My buddy, like, woke up, like, knocked shit over. Like, somebody was like, what the fuck's going on? I was like, dude, there was a woman in the room. And, like, we were totally freaked out. We, like, slept the lights on and shit. She was
over his bed?
If the bed wasn't there, she would have been standing in the corner, but the bed was there, so she was kind of like part of the bed at this point, you know, like weirdly,
Jesus
like
Christ.
In it. It freaked us out so bad that, like, you know, like both of us, like we were two grown men, like slept with the lights on and like freaked out. I couldn't fall back to sleep. I was like, and we slept with the lights on. It's just hilarious.
And, I mean, you travel a lot, so you're used to sleeping in places that aren't familiar. And like, I know whenever like I stay in somebody else's house, all I hear are like the creaks and stuff. So you're used to it, and like
when I'm asleep, I'm like asleep. That's why every time something weird like that's happened, it's been like I've woken up like boom, eyes wide open, and I'm staring at something weird. You know, and it was like it was almost like I'm getting like a signal to like danger or something. Open your eyes. It was like the weirdest thing. To this day, I can still see it as clear as day.
Irish lady, right? You're in a B&B. Been a lot of people have passed through that goddamn B&B before.
And that feels very much like residual.
Mm-hmm.
It's like standing not next to, not behind, in front of. It's not on. It's through in the bed.
Right. So I think we are all sort of raised with this idea that every haunt is an intelligent haunt where the ghost is aware of you and it's there to fuck
you
up.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so when you hear about something like that, you're like, oh, that can't be real. If you're talking about a residual haunt, it's not that putting furniture in its way is going to stop what it does.
It's not going to change that broken record.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you, this made me think of a story from the first apartment I ever lived in. So I had just moved into my first apartment ever. And my friend and I were trying to like furnish it. And so I went to a flea market nearby in Ravenna, New York, and I found these cool looking window boxes. So they're like these maybe like 2x2 wooden boxes with like a glass pane on the front.
Like a shadow box.
Yes, exactly. Because they had the little compartments, and they're in the compartments there were like dried flowers and acorns and all sorts of crap. And each one of them had a really old photo of a woman, and it was a different woman in each. And so I'm a poor college student, and they were $20 a piece. So I was like, I'll buy one. You know, I like chose one that I liked better. And I was like, you know, if the other one's here when I come back at some point in the future, I'll get that one too. So I get home, I put it up in my room, above my bed, and it was that twilight moment as I am about to fall asleep. I feel myself slipping into sleep, and it's almost as if somebody was at my ear and they said, "Hey." And I woke up immediately, obviously. Not, you know, I didn't even have a moment to think of like what could that have been when the smoke alarm in my bedroom went off.
Fucking smoke alarm.
I know. And so let me describe this house to you. It was giant brownstone, really beautiful. I don't know why he rented it to four college students, but it was a 3-floor house. Bottom floor was like kitchen, living room, etc. Second floor had 2 big bedrooms and then like an office, which is where what I use as a bedroom. And then the third floor had two bedrooms and a full bath. So somebody just lived and like had that whole floor to themselves. And so my room was literally at the center, the hub of the house. It was surrounded by other house. Mm-hmm. And my smoke alarm was the only one that went off. And it was not one of those like, the batteries are dying, let me chirp a little bit. It was like, get the fuck out, your house is on fire.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Was there any construction going on in the house or?
Nope. We had moved in maybe like a month and a half beforehand. So okay. There wasn't even any like moving of furniture that would have like caked up dust yeah. or anything like that.
Okay. Wow.
I know.
So what'd you do?
Oh, so I ran, obviously. I went downstairs and I slept downstairs. And the next day I took down the window box. I was like, I woke up the next morning on the couch in my living room like a goddamn coward. And the first thing I thought was this realization of like, why the fuck did you separate those two women? And so I took it down from the wall in my bedroom and I carried it downstairs and I said, I'm going to keep you down here now. And as soon as I can, I'm going to go get your sister. And to this day, they have hung together in my home and nothing has happened.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Got to go with your intuition, Amanda.
I know.
It's amazing.
My intuition kicked in later. My intuition up front was like, oh, yeah, I'll just get one. It's no big deal. I'm poor. The next day I was like, who's got $20?
Well, and the reason I was like, goddamn smoke alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Is because I feel like on multiple occasions I've had weird, unexplained things happening, and then all of a sudden the smoke alarm goes
off. Yeah,
totally.
What the fuck is it with that?
What is that?
Here's a call for all your smoke alarm stories.
And on a later episode, I'll share my weird smoke alarm stories.
Nice.
But tonight, that's not what we're talking about, goddammit. We're talking mm-hmm. about nighttime haunts. In fact, we have one last story.
And this one's from Emily, who we have gotten other stories from as well.
Basically, this happened many, many years ago when I was like in middle school. I think I was 12. And it was late during the night and I was fast asleep. But I began to wake up when I heard the sound of like slippers moving across the floor, and they sounded close. Now, the only person in my house who would still be up in the middle of the night would be my mom. So I thought it was her, naturally. Well, when I woke up and like I opened my eyes, they at the edge of my bed, just standing there, was something that looked like my mom. She had on her nice light blue robe with some like designs on them, like flower designs. And I couldn't make out her face though. Like it was just completely dark and shadowed over. And I thought that it was weird, but in reality, I was just like, well, maybe it's just because my room's dark, you know, the shadows covering her face. My eyes aren't adjusted. It's shadowed over because it's dark. Well, I closed my eyes again because I was still kind of half asleep. And then I heard the sound of slippers dragging on the ground move closer to me. And when I opened my eyes back up because I felt something just standing beside me, I was looking straight into, like, quote-unquote, my mom's face, but it had no face. It just looked physically like my mom minus the face. The face was still blacked out and just, I felt so scared. So my mom and I would do this thing where she has a robe on all the time and she has this little tie that's on the robe and she never tied her robe. So I would often like grab the tie and like yank on it as a little, you know, young kid joke on her. So I did that. I was laying in bed, half asleep, and I went to move my arm, like, and get, like, grab her tie, and my hand just went right through. It felt nasty. It felt bad. And that was when my eyes just, like, opened real wide. And then its hand reached out and started going for my neck. And that was when my, like, fight responses activated, and I ran out of my room. I ran so quick. I ran and I felt like I was going to throw up. So I was in the bathroom just waiting to throw up. And my mom, I remember her like hearing this because clearly, and she was sound asleep, she said, when she heard that. And she ran into my room and didn't see me in my room. She saw me in my bathroom. And I remember for days, like, I did not tell her at all what happened because it was just so terrifying. But when I did, she said that it didn't really surprise her because she had also had some strange experiences, and me, since I was little, had been seeing weird things or hearing weird things, and my grandma too. So I guess it's like a family thing. I don't know.
I can't imagine seeing someone that you think is your mother and having a blacked out, weird, creepy fucking face.
I know. And it reminds me a lot of Kaya again. Like, it feels like a familial tie. Kaya's grandfather had like a eerily similar spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. And here Emily is, and she's seeing somebody who she believes is her mother, but who actually is not so friendly.
Mm-hmm. So, Amanda, I am looking forward to the next time we get together to talk mm-hmm. about more ghostly things.
Yes. Please sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Don't let the ugly Betty Whites bite.
Oh my gosh. Don't throw yourself out a window. Thank you and good night.